Focus on the Family says that for several years, death by suicide among children and teens has been increasing in frequency. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. We're going to talk about this right now with Joni DeBrito, Dr. Joni DeBrito of Focus on the Family. She's the Director of Parenting and Youth, and the goal is to help highlight a unique prevention resource dealing with this whole subject. Joni, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. And just give us a little quick background of your own experience, and then how does that tie into suicide?
Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting that sometimes your life goes a different direction than you expected it to go. So my life has intersected with suicide in a number of ways. I lived in a community when my kids were in high school about 20 years ago, and in that community, there were 13 suicides in our community in 1 year. And that was when my oldest daughter was already in high school and my youngest daughter was going into middle school.
Oh, wow.
And then that was right before someone who had been really close to my daughter, her father killed his wife and then himself.
Oof.
So we were part of helping to provide support to that family after a murder-suicide. And that was just prior to the Columbine High School shootings. And I was a mental health first responder in that event. And then, of course, there were many suicides that were related to that trauma afterward. So that was a very difficult time in our lives. Then shortly after that, I went to work as the director of a college counseling center. I was there for 16 years. And in the time that I was there, that was from 2001 through 2017. In 16 years, we went from talking to students who were struggling with suicidal thoughts and possibly actions as well, maybe two or three times a semester. By the time I finished, we were actually talking to students struggling with suicidal issues every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And that was not unique to our campus. That was something that was reported by college campuses all over the country, that there was a huge spike in the number of young people who were struggling with suicidal thoughts.
Was that college that you mentioned that you were directly involved in, was that a Christian college?
Yes, it was. Yes,
so even on a Christian college and campus and so forth, you had to deal with this issue.
Yes, absolutely. It's all around us. It's, you know, you mentioned that we're going to talk a little bit about the resource that we have created in response to this, but I will tell you that when we decided to put together the resource, it's called Alive to Thrive, and it's a biblically-based prevention and a response program for parents and other people who interact with kids to know what to do in the event, not just in the event that there are issues with suicide, but even to prevent kids from getting to that point. When we announced in the ministry that we were going to be doing this particular program, there were people all around us, even in the ministry, who came forward and said, I've been affected by this. I've been affected. And as we've gone out and did lots of videotaping and collecting stories of people, you would hear pretty much everyone saying, I know someone, my niece, my mother, my sister, my brother, and
wow.
So forth. So it's a problem that's on the rise, and it's a very significant mental health concern in this day and age.
Okay, you've got some statistics here on your website. 40 is the suicide rate among teen girls, recently reached a 40-year high. Actually, the way these numbers are interposed with the text is unclear to me, so I'll just read what the text says,
okay.
and you can comment on it. The suicide rate among teen girls recently reached a 40-year high again. On average, more than 3,000 teens attempt suicide every day. Good grief.
Uh-huh.
9 out of 10 deaths by suicide have an underlying diagnosable mental health issue. Let's go to that point number two about the attempted suicide. And my guess would be that many of those are not real attempts. It's more like a cry for help, perhaps.
It may be. And there's actually a hidden message there, and that is that thankfully, we do not lose 3,000 people a day to suicide. what that tells us is that there are many, many more people who act on their suicidal thoughts than those who actually die by suicide. And that means there's hope out there. There's a lot of hope for recovery. There's a lot of hope for renewal and so forth. And that's exactly why we put together Alive to Thrive.
You know, now that you mention this, I know somebody personally who has since died, but not from suicide, but rather from smoking, which I guess that's sort of suicide, you know, by the decades or something like that.
Right.
But anyway, there was a situation where he was living in New York City. This is 40 years ago. He was living in New York City, and he was so lonely and ready to, he literally was going to go into his boss's office before hours, before the boss would come, and open the windows and jump out, and you know, from this high rise. And the boss, this is 40 years ago. Okay, the boss's office was unlocked, or he had access to it. He goes in there. It's not locked, as I said. It's dark. It was about 7 in the morning here in New York, there in New York City. He goes by the windows, and suddenly he hears his name being called out, and it's his boss who was sitting in the dark, and he said, "What are you doing here?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, I just wanted to get some fresh air." And then he, you know, okay, whoo, nice day. And then he left. But that was an amazing providential. And by the way, later he became a Christian, that person I was describing. So that's an example of, well, there is hope after all.
Absolutely. Well, and Jerry, you mentioned loneliness, and that is the thing that we find is that almost always there's an element of people feeling marginalized, feeling as if they don't fit in, et cetera. And it's so interesting in our culture because we have this idea that people are so well connected now because of the internet, because you can communicate on your phone and text and phone calls and emails and any number of ways. And more people are using technology. But we know they're not really connecting. It's a false connection. Yes, it's connection in one dimension, but human beings need to be together. They need to touch one another. They need to talk face-to-face. And when all of the communication is through this one dimension, it can be very distorted. And also something that you might find really interesting is that as we interviewed people, so Alive to Thrive has lots of information provided by clinical experts, but we also have a lot of compelling videos. And as we interviewed survivors, we interviewed pastors, interviewed parents, interviewed students, teenagers, et cetera, we would always say, you know, what is your guess on what, one of the, many of the contributors are? Would you want to guess what the first one was that everyone mentioned?
Facebook? I mean, in other words, you're saying...
You got it.
Really?
You have got it. It wasn't actually stated as Facebook, but
social
100%
media.
Of people we talked about, without hesitation, they would say social media.
Meaning that they were considering suicide because of social media.
Yes, and what I want to say there is I'm not suggesting that social media is the cause of all suicide. I'm saying because there are many wonderful things about social media, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it clearly is one of the contributors in this day and age, maybe to suicide in a number of different age groups, but for sure in that young pre-adolescent, adolescent, teenage, and college age group. And it seems to be related to these two things, the FOMO that we talk about, which stands for fear of missing out, but also it seems to relate to comparison. And unfortunately, when people are feeling depressed and lonely and as if they don't fit in, they isolate. And this day and age, instead of, you know, sitting in their room and listening to music, they're on social media. And the more they sit and look at other people's lives, which are reflected in these, they're kind of caricatures on Facebook because people put up pictures that make them look better than they really look in real life, and they only show the highlight reel of their life. They don't show the reject reel. And so if you are disconnected and you don't feel like your life is going well, it feels awful to look at the lives of other people online, or you post something and you get no response, and then you see that a friend of yours posted something and got 400 responses. So it's very difficult for people who are isolating and already feeling bad about themselves to not begin to feel worse and perhaps go down the road of feeling suicidal because of that comparison.
Boy, you know, there's a good lesson in this, in the sense of don't take this stuff seriously. That is social media.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, I know some people that like, sort of live and die by Facebook. I can't believe this person unfriended me. It's like, oh, can you believe that? You know, it's like,
who cares?
You know,
yes,
I remember I'm not kidding. The first time I think I looked at Facebook and there were people that I was connected with and somebody was talking about how they had painted their toenails that morning.
Yeah,
and it's like, what is this? This is like, you know, a trip into the trivial. And it made me feel like, okay, I don't care about this stuff. You know,
right.
If, you know, I just, and the only reason I use it, I'm a grandfather and I have got three beautiful little kids. And it's just, it's so fun to take photos and then just post those up and show the kids that Chuck E. Cheese is having a good time. You know, the
end. Well, I'm a grandmother as well. And there are two things I would say in response to what you just said. Number one, as parents and grandparents, we have to remember, now it depends on the age of the parent for sure, but for most of us and for parents who are middle age and older, this idea of social media came in when we were fully developed human beings, right?
Ah.
And we remember life before social media. So we have a very broad perspective. We have framework. We have context. We can look at things. We can see things posted, even it almost goes into that fake news realm where you can see things posted and go, okay, yes, this happened, and you'll see kids get like really scared, oh my gosh, there's a tornado and we're all going to blow away. And we have the context to be able to say, guys, this has been happening all over the world ever since the beginning of time. Mm-hmm. It's not so much that there's more of this, that, and the other thing going on. In some cases there is, but in a lot of cases, it's kind of the same deal, the same people being unkind to one another, sometimes even people being evil to one another. That is not a new concept. But for kids that don't have that context, they have a very distorted view of the world. And the other piece that you might really identify being a grandfather is when I was a kid, and I presume when you were a kid as well, bullying took place face-to-face.
Yeah.
And so you might be at school and you're struggling, and I know there was one kid in our neighborhood that was kind of a bully to everyone, and about twice a year he would take after me, and it hurt and it was hard, and he'd maybe push me down on my bike going home. I'd get home, I might be in tears. My mom or dad would be there. My brothers would be there. We'd talk about it. It was over. And then usually, because bullying wasn't so common, if I went back to school the next day and just chatted with the teacher, it just got managed. Now, when kids are bullied, they cannot get away from the bullying.
Mm.
So it's called cyberbullying. And online, someone will start to get bullied, and then all of a sudden you may see one person jump on the bandwagon, three, five.
It's like 50. Shark, like a shark feeding.
It's exactly like that. And sometimes maybe you're in a popular group and you really want to identify with, let's say, Janet, just a name that I pulled out of the air.
We have a minute left, by the way. Yeah, go ahead.
Pardon me?
We have a minute left. Go on.
Okay. So you want to identify with that group, and she happens to be bullying someone, you might jump on the bandwagon. So with just a minute, it'd be really helpful to direct people. Our resource is called Alive to Thrive, and it's a biblically-based prevention and response program for suicide. And by prevention, I mean that it starts all the way back at parenting young children and what you can do to prevent it, and then goes all the way through to if you have someone who's currently affected. And that can be found free online. It's free of charge for anyone. Learn, LEARN, alivetothrive.com. And I really encourage people to check it out.
Okay, say that again, just the URL.
Uh-huh.
Learn.
LEARN, like learning, like you learn in school. Learn.alivetothrive.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. DeBrito, for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Okay. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.